Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Well, hey, everyone, it's great to have you with us today. Grab your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. I really believe this is a word for our church and a word for each and every one of us. Honestly, it's something that we all will need to grab a hold of, dig in deep, have a conviction and a confidence in through those challenging seasons in life that we all will face from time to time. It says this in Romans 8, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is that who will condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who raised us to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written? For your sake, we shall face death all day before we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you have a powerful and personal word for each one of us. Lord, let this time together really ignite a greater level of faith and deepen our confidence and our trust in you. Amen. You know, this passage, it is an incredible passage. I feel that it's filled with both the practicality of walking out our faith, but it also is filled with the mystery of faith in God, the sense of trust and adventure of knowing him for our lives. You know, this passage, it starts out with a truth that God will work it out. Starts out with a truth that is really profound and personal and in some ways eternal. God will work it out. It then goes on to unpack the doctrine of this, that God has a plan and God is bound by his nature and his purpose to prioritize your well-being, your relationship and your destiny. There's truth, there is the doctrine around it, but then it leads into personal revelation or personal response. What does this mean for us? And I really think that journey of truth to doctrine, the why into what does it look like for us? It's so important. God doesn't want us just to have head information and head understanding and intellectual understanding, but to actually help it be incredibly personal, because in the tough times, it's personal revelation that we need. Look, it will today, what I want to speak about, it will all work out. No matter what you're facing, no matter what season you're in, no matter how challenging things are, no matter how confusing things are, this passage says it clearly that God will work it out. You know, when you're facing trouble, God will work it out. When you're experiencing hardship, God will work it out. When you are in a famine or a lean time, God will work it out. When you're experiencing spiritual attack and oppression, you are heavy-hearted, God will work it out. When you're confronted with the realities of the frailty of life, death and eternity, God will work it out. Look, the fact is, when life is challenging, when life is confusing, when life is even painful, an intellectual thought isn't going to help you. An intellectual thought will not get you through it. What will help you get through it is a personal revelation and a confidence that God will work it out. Think back to schooling, and for some of you, It's a little bit of a distance back there, but think back to schooling and they would sometimes present a problem, sometimes present in maths a problem, you know, find X or solve this or calculate this. And I don't know about you, but at school, I was never allowed to just put the answer. I was never allowed just to, after the problem, just quickly put the answer. I had to show my working out. I had to show that the problem was here and how Phil Newman journeyed through what I had been taught and what I had been shown and what I had been educated on. I had to show my process to get to the answer. I had to show the working out from problem to resolution. And that's what it is in life. That there are problems that we face, there are challenges that we face, there are Goliaths that we face, and it's a process of God working it out. In fact, when it comes to literally school, it's actually the depth and confidence of your working out that the teachers are looking for. Not the fact that you got it right or wrong, but how did you get there? How did you get from problem to resolution? In your life, if you are facing challenge, confusion, battle, intimidation, whatever you're facing, I want to tell you today from the Word, and my prayer is that it goes deep into your heart, that God will work it out. You are, if you like, a work in progress. Now, let's get real about this. When your child needs emergency surgery, God will work it out. When you lose your job, God will work it out. When your business partner betrays you, God will work it out. When your greatest plans go out the window, when the rug's pulled out from under you, God will work it out. When unexpected bills come across your desk, God will work it out. He works, Romans 8:28, He works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. In Philippians 1:6, it says, and I am sure of this. There's that confidence again. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work, problem, will bring it to completion, resolution, at the day of Jesus Christ. There is a problem, so God begins a good work. You are in sin, you have a mess, you have a challenge. And so in response to that, because it's never his plan and it's never his nature, when you're faced with a problem, he begins a good work. But it says he will bring it to completion, that is working it out. He will bring it to completion. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. There is a plan. There is a process. God never will leave you with a problem. God always works it out. Hebrews 13:6, so we say with confidence, there it is again, we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, the Lord's my helper, but when it says I will not be afraid, that's the let's get real moment. When you're facing process, facing journey, when you are in that movement from problem to resolution, you know what, that's when it really is, I'm not going to respond in fear. I'm not going to respond with intimidation. I'm not going to respond with force and manufacturing and trying to fight. No, I'm going to trust you, God, that you will work it out. Number one, the thought today, he is at work. Everyone say is. He is at work. You know, driving along the road, and if your local council is doing work on the road, maybe fixing potholes, doing some construction, whatever it is, they will give you advance notice and ahead of time, a couple hundred meters before you get there, put a little sign out on the road saying road work ahead. And you can be driving along, you might be going at full speed, you're charging along, the kids are screaming, things are happening, your mind's elsewhere. They put up a sign so that all of a sudden you change how you travel, you change how you journey, and you watch for what work is happening. They're saying, don't just go along as normal. Don't just travel along and coast along and not pay attention. Stop, slow down, pay attention to the work that's being done. If you don't, you might hurt someone else or you might hurt yourself. This is kind of like what is going on when you're moving from problem to resolution and God's working it out. Let's put up the signs to say work is happening. Let's start to pay attention in the process, pay attention in the journey to what God is doing. Give your attention to his work. You know, in Romans where it says, and we know, K-N-O-W, we know that God works all things together for the good. That word know, it comes from a Greek word, eido. And it doesn't just mean to know up here. It doesn't just mean to have the information. It's not saying, look, I've got the information or I have an understanding that God will work all things together. No, no, it's so much deeper than it. And it requires such a level of faith with that. It says, eido means to turn your attention to. Turn your attention to. In other words, this passage is saying, and we will turn our attention to the good things that God is doing. We will turn our attention in the middle of this chaos, in the middle of this battle, in the middle of this storm, and we turn our attention to the fact that God is working it out. You know, turn your attention to what He's done. Turn your attention to what He's doing. Turn your attention to what He's going to do, but remember and have confidence in and look for the fact that God is at work. For some of you on your report card, your teacher kept saying to you every year, pay attention. Stop getting distracted. Pay attention. And I think that is like that journey of faith. Don't look at the battle. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the problems. Don't look, get distracted by opportunity answers. Keep your eyes on Jesus and what He's doing, that He is always at work. Colossians 3:2 in the Amplified says, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on earth, which have only temporal value. Set your mind. You know, I've been through times in my life, really storm seasons where I've disagreed or got angry or got sad or got confused. And in those seasons, when your humanity just feels so powerful, when your flesh feels so prominent, when your soul is feeling very unspiritual, it is a conscious and intentional step and act of faith to set your mind on what God's doing. Eido, set your mind, turn your attention towards. You know, sometimes your attention wants to go to short-term answers, to band-aids to the problems, to quick fixes for things, even to the anger and the pain and the isolation and the fear of failure that you have and the sense of frustration of what God's doing. Your heart and mind and soul can so easily fix on those things where God says, no, no, Eido, turn your attention, lead your heart, lead your soul, lead your attention and focus on the things above. Number one, He is at work. Those traffic signs are in place. God is always at work. Number two, He's using it all. I just think that's amazing that even when you face crisis and tragedy and moments of death and pain and the most what you would call anti-promised things, and they aren't from God, they aren't God's plan, they aren't from God's character, but when you face these incredible explosions of crisis, that nothing is wasted. God is so good. He will use those things for your plan. And I looked up recently some bizarre things that people collect around the world. And David Andriani from Italy, he has a collection of Coca-Cola cans. He has 10,558 Coke cans from 87 countries. I hope he's got a big display cabinet. Yeah, Mike Fontaine from America has 75,000 McDonald's items. My goodness, I hope he's got a good doctor. Bettina Dorfman from Germany. She has, I think she's got some issues, but she has 15,000 Barbie dolls. That is a house I don't want to visit. And lastly, just because I think it's so incredibly pointless, but Becky Martz has way too much time on hands and she has collected 21,000 of those little labels that you put on bananas. You know, every little banana has a tiny little label. She's collected for no reason whatsoever. 21,000 banana labels. I've actually looked at some photos of Becky and she has folder after folder of these tiny little oval stickers. Becky, it's time to move on. You know, we collect some random things and sometimes they're for value purposes, sometimes they're for interest. But when you step back and think about this, that God collects every single moment in your life and He uses it. He doesn't dismiss your pain, doesn't dismiss your hurt, doesn't dismiss the tragedy, doesn't dismiss the crisis. He is so grieving and sad and feels it's so unjust that those things have happened, but he doesn't dismiss it and throw it away. He collects it and uses it for his plan and purpose in your life. You know, when you unpack the thought of that he works all things out together for the good, you know, it's not just a sense of even just that he uses it all. He actually re-employs it. The original language says he re-employs it to work with you. It's literally like it becomes a work colleague for you. And I think that's amazing. It speaks of the power and the providence and the love of God that he has for you, that he will take a crisis that was sent to hurt you and he will re-employ it, re-engineer it to work with you towards your promise. Psalm 119 says, "Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation as enduring as the earth you created." Look at this. "Your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans." Everything. And just when you think something is unusable, God reminds us and reassures us that he can use it all. And so what you have faced, and what you're facing right now, I want to remind you today that God is at work and he will use it all as you keep focused on him. This passage we read, it speaks to the fact that God will work it out. It gives the doctrine around it that God's nature and plan is unavoidable to the fact that he will use it all. But it finishes by saying, well, what's our response going to be? And this is when it takes faith. This is when it's got to move from head to heart, when it moves from education to revelation. What's your response going to be? This week, today, this season, whatever you're facing right now, whatever storm you're facing, I want to remind you, God will work it out. But what's your response going to be? Will you keep complaining, fighting, whinging, removing yourself, running from, or will you keep turning your attention to Jesus? Will you keep your soul fixed on him? And will you be a person of faith? See, this thought today of him working it out, it's not a spectator sport. It's not us sitting back and saying, well, I'm going to be passive and I'm going to pull out of this and I'm going to watch you do it, God, and let me know when you're done. Let me know when it's my turn to get back involved. God says, no, no, no. I, from my place of victory, am working it out and I have rulership and reign and power over everyone and everything involved. God is up to something profound, but in it, he says, I want to partner with you. And so I don't need you to check out. I need you to stay here and draw on my grace, draw on my word, draw on my spirit, because I will use this storm, even in your own life, to reveal myself to you. So in the storm, it's time to be faithful. In the storm, it's time to be bold. In this season, it's time to be confident. In this season, it's time to be sacrificial. In this battle, it's time to keep sowing. In this challenge, it's time to keep being strong. What's your response going to be? So today, he will work it out. Number two, he will use all things. And number three, while he's working it out, what's your response? What's God putting on your heart? What's God speaking to you and reminding you and reassuring you, sometimes loudly, sometimes very quietly, but always kindly? What's he calling you to do? We can have excuses, we can blame, we can pass the buck, or it can be people who understand that God is working it out, God is up to something, he's using it all, and he's calling each one of us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for my friends here today. I thank you that in the middle of the storm, you are working it out. I pray that this wouldn't just be an educational, intellectual thought, but it would be a heart revelation that you are working it out, you are using all things, and you are calling each one of us to respond in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week and you can access all our podcasts and videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.